Howdy, howdy. This is Lily from Makecraft Game, and you're listening to Season 3 of Reading Rulebooks. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out makecraftgame.com for more content. And to continue on with our Knizia season, I am going to be reading the rulebook today for High Society. You are the cultural elite, the quintessential bon vivants, the true icons of the age. The competition is fierce amidst highborn and nouveau rich to assert your status and earn prestige in the eyes of your peers. Adorn yourself with splendid jewelry and high fashion. Enjoy fine cuisine and fizzing champagne. And waste away money in casinos and at the races. Show off your exquisite palate and excellent taste. But don't be caught penniless or be cast out as an imposter. Fashion is fickle, but style is forever. Show them what it really means to be a member of high society. Components: 16 status cards, made up of 10 luxury cards, 3 prestige cards, and 3 disgrace cards. The luxury cards are numbered 1 to 10 and increase your status. The prestige cards multiply your status and count down to the end of the game. The disgrace cards decrease your status in different ways. 5 sets of 11 money cards. Setup. Give each player a set of 11 money cards of the same color to keep secret in their hand. Shuffle the status cards and place them as a face-down deck in the middle of the table. The player who shuffled the deck starts the game. How to play. Players are socialites trying to live as lavishly and frivolously as possible, outbidding each other to prove that they are living life to the fullest. At the end of the game, the poorest player, or players, will be cast out of the group. The remaining player, who has managed to become the most fashionable by collecting the highest value status cards, will earn the envy of all and win the game. Auction round. At the start of each round, flip the top card of the status deck face up. This card will now go to the highest bidder. The starting player must either bid or pass. Bidding. To bid, you must play one or more money cards face up in front of you and announce the total of all your face up money cards. If you have already bid this round, you can only increase your bid by adding new cards to the ones already on the table. You cannot pick up cards you have already played. And you can only bid if your new total is higher than the previous bid made this round. Passing. If you don't want to bid, you may pass instead. If you have already bid this round, return all of your face-up money cards to your hand. You may no longer bid this round. When a player has either bid or passed, the turn moves to the player to their left. The last remaining player, after everyone else has passed, wins the auction. If possible, but rare, that everyone will pass without making a bid, in which case the last remaining player gets the card for free. Place the contested status card face up in front of the winner. Discard all of the money cards on the table face down. The winner of the auction becomes the starting player for the new round and reveals the next status card from the deck. Disgrace. If the revealed status card is a disgrace card, the auction works slightly differently. This time, you are bidding to avoid taking the card, and the round will end as soon as any one player passes. That player picks up their money cards as usual, but must take the disgrace card and place it in front of them. All other players must discard money cards on the table face down. The passing player starts the next round. If a player takes the faux pas card, they must immediately discard one of their luxury cards in front of them, their choice. If they currently have no luxury cards in front of them, they must discard the next luxury card they receive. Once a luxury card has been discarded, discard the faux pas card. Note that only cards with a value between 1 and 10 are luxury cards. Discarded status cards are returned to the box. The passé card reduces a player's status by 5. The Scandale card halves the player's status at the end of the game. Game end. 4 cards in the status deck have a dark green background. the three prestige cards, and the scandale card. As soon as the fourth one is revealed, the game ends immediately with no bidding for the revealed card. Cast out. All players reveal their hands to announce the total of their remaining money cards. The player or players with the least remaining money are cast out and cannot win. Scoring. Each luxury card awards status equal to its value. Each prestige card doubles the owning player's status, while the disgrace card decreases the status. The player with the highest status that hasn't been cast out wins. If there is a tie, the player with the most money left wins. If there is still a tie, the player with the single most valuable luxury card wins. Certifications. The status card a player has accumulated are always visible face up in front of them. The money cards they have spent are always hidden face down. If you have two prestige cards, multiply your status by 4. If you have all three, multiply your status by 8. Scoring example. Rahul has the following status cards in front of him. Hot cuisine for 3 points. Dressage for 9. Passe for -5. Bon vivant for multiple of 2. Joy de vivre for another multiple of 2. And scandale for half. He first adds up his luxury cards for a total of 12. Then he has to lose 5 for being caught passe, for a total of 7. Rahul then gets to double his status twice because of his prestige cards, for a total of 28. Finally, the scandale card halves his remaining status, leaving Rahul with a total of 14. What a short, sweet little game. This is definitely a fun, cute little bidding game that has some good components, some bad components, and all in between. Now, I will start off by saying I have not played, but I can kind of tell how this would play out pretty well from the rulebook. It does give you a very good capture of really what the game is. Being so minimal on rules, it's not that difficult to do. So I'm just going to go over some things that kind of caught my attention. One thing I found fascinating was bidding. So this is a hard pass bid round, which means when you pass, you're out for the rest of the round. Nothing strange about that. The thing that is strange is how you increase your bid. Normally, your money is very free-flowing, so if you bid 4 and someone bids 5, you can just go with 6. But if you don't have the money cards to go directly 6, then you kind of have to think about what cards are available in hand, because is it really worth going up 4, 12, 25 if those are the cards you have? And I find that very interesting just because it makes the game and the bidding mechanic even more constrained than it already is. You can't just go up by ones. You have to actually work with what's in your hand, which is obviously exciting. But that also takes me to a part of the game that I know I'm going to have trouble with, which is spending the cards. When you gain the card, you discard all of the money cards on the table face down. Makes sense to discard these cards. However, this is being done in an effort to obfuscate the cards players still have in their hand. So assuming my hand starts as 2, 4, 6, and 8, let's just go with that. If I spend the 8 and then it gets discarded, well, now I've got 2, 4, and 6. Now, you could forget that that's what happened if the card is discarded face down, but is that really the point of the game you want to play, is the question it really comes down to. If you want to play a game that has a memory component, that is totally fine if that is how you enjoy playing. That is not how I enjoy playing, because I'm pretty confident that someone would start pulling out a piece of paper and just start writing stuff down, which is also totally valid. I am someone who has the memory of a goldfish. So things that rely on memory like this, I have trouble with, because it really comes down to a natural ability. It's something you can improve for sure, but that's a benefit you have in life just depending on your ability to remember things versus playing the game. So Well, I don't think it necessarily takes away from anything to have the cards face down. I just don't think it adds anything either. And so I feel like having all of the cards face up is probably fine when discarded and or scored. Just because if you can count it by writing it down on a piece of paper, why not just leave it as available information? That's just how I like to play. I know that this is a very big argument, but I'm still going to say my piece when I see it. And I know that there are many Kinitsia games that do rely heavily on this. Not so much rely heavily on this, but that do have this component of hidden trackable information. And over my years of gaming, I have just wanted to play with the information open more and more, just because if I'm going to compete with somebody at their best level, and I have all the information, but then I forget it, it just doesn't feel as good as saying, okay, I see you have XYZ, now I actually can come up with a strategy to overcome that. But, like, again, however you want to play is fine, that's just the way I prefer, but don't feel hamstrung to play it one way or the other. Otherwise, this is just a very cute, sweet little bidding game. Very small, very short. I just kind of wanted to do something, and this seemed less daunting than some of the other rule books that I have in front of me. So yeah, I'm definitely very curious to play this game. One thing I will also point out is the art on this game is fabulous. I'm really into it. It's got a very, it's not like anime, it's like cartoonish, but in like a realistic way that doesn't make it feel too goofy, in my opinion. It just has the right amount of polish and pizzazz to like draw you in and give off a very fun vibe for the game, which I really enjoy. One thing I do find interesting is the faux pas card. It's the only card that I've seen that gets rid of another card during the game. There's no other ways to get rid of luxury, prestige, or disgrace cards. They all just sit in front of you, except for that one card, which I just find fascinating. But I got sidetracked. Anyway, the art is gorgeous. The rulebook is fairly solid. Nothing, no real questions after reading it or anything I needed to know by just playing. The biggest difficulty was saying some of the words, but that's just because I'm not up to par in my French as I probably could be. So that is it for today's rulebook. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to check out MCG on other social media platforms or go to madecraftgame.com for more content. And I hope you enjoy playing the game.